When I got ready to leave yesterday morning, the verse that had been on my heart through the week, I'd been just kind of been, as I'd gone back through, I want to read that verse to you. But I tell you, for the sake of time, I won't read. I was going to start with chapter 3, verse 1. This is where the Lord calls Moses. He's in the backside of the desert. He's been now, he's right at 80 years of age, and he has been a shepherd. He was to be the leader of Egypt. He was second in command, raised by Pharaoh's daughter. But they depicted that so wonderfully at sight and sound. But the Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than be called Pharaoh's daughter in the book of Hebrews. And so he turned his back on all of that. And boy, there was a sequence of events that happened. But he ended up being in the land of Midian, and he is there, and he is working for his father-in-law. He's a shepherd. And the story, you remember, God appears to him in a burning bush, and then they have this conversation. God tells him that I have a plan, and what my plan is, that I have heard the cry of my people, and that I will come, I will lead them out and bring them into the land of promise. And then he said to Moses, I want you to lead them. And so Moses makes some excuses, and God answers all of his excuses. But I want to just pick up just a short little bit of reading here. Notice in verse number 16 of chapter 3 of Exodus. Chapter 3 and verse 16 of Exodus. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of the Egyptians into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I'm going to come down. I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to bring you in to the promised land. Verse 18, and they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, and thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I love that statement in verse number 18. He said, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. I kind of shortened it a little bit, and this is the thought I had. God hath met with us. God has met with us. I want you to bow with me for prayer, and I want to share with you just a few things this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the wonderful congregational singing. First of all, Lord, for the great Bible study time we had in Sunday school. And then, Lord, for the privilege of being in this worship service. And Lord, the congregational singing, the choir. Thank you for Ms. Juanita playing so beautifully this morning. And God, for Joe Bear, the anointing of God that's on him, the gift you've given him to sing. And Lord, we're thinking about going home. And I pray now that God, the Holy Ghost, would speak to our hearts. Lord, I've had a privilege this morning to speak to several of your people and then some guests and visitors. Lord, I'm sure glad that everybody's in the building. But Lord, I'm especially glad that you're in this place. And Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God is here to bless. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. Your intent for men and women, boys and girls, is that they might live in heaven. Because you love the world so much, you gave your only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in you should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, you don't want anybody in this building to die and go to hell. And I pray, God, in this place, they'll meet the Lord today. And God, I pray in this place that there be folks who have burdens that can lay their burdens down and leave their cares with you. I pray, God, there be some here who have to make decisions, but by meeting with you, God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, you'll do something special in their heart and life. And I'll thank you and praise you. Now help me, Lord, and I'll praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to the story of the burning bush, and you can just imagine Moses is out with those sheep on the backside of the desert, and he sees this bush, and it's flaming, but it's not consumed. And he says, I'm going to turn and go to that that place. That initial time when God spoke to him out of that burning bush has changed the life of not only Moses, but all the history of the nation of Israel. Out of that experience of his going back and talking to Pharaoh, we have the story of the Passover. And that is the observance that every Jewish family has to do every year. And they have, since the days of Moses, worshiped the Lord in the Passover, the lamb and the bitter herbs and all. And I depicted kind of how the Jewish family does their Passover and how it points to Christ, and yet they're so blind they hadn't seen Christ. But you think about that lamb, that innocent lamb that was put up for 14 days and then it was killed and they caught the blood and they put it on the doorpost of their house. And when the death angel came through, he passed over them. And their firstborn did not die, but all the firstborn from Pharaoh's house down to the lowest slave. And of all the animals, the firstborn throughout all of Egypt died. God did a wonderful thing. But it all started at that one place. It all started at that bush. And what an awesome statement as he goes in before Pharaoh and says, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us." Wow, what an awesome statement that God who created the whole world, came and met with me. Back in the backside of a desert, God met with them and met with Moses in a very special way. Think about that encounter, meeting there, and how it altered the life of Moses for the rest of his life when he met God and God met with him there in that place. And then think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Wherever they meet, I'll meet them there." And this morning, God is in this building. You have a chance to meet him. Sadly, people go in and out of church buildings all across this country and never be aware God's in the building, that God was there. But you can meet him. And it'll make a difference. It'll change. They walk into the court of Pharaoh and they say, "God said, the God of the Hebrews said, let my people go 3 days' journey." In other words, here's what they were saying. Because God met with us, this is why we're here. God met with us. That's why we're here. God hath met with us. That's why we are saying what we're saying. We didn't decide on our own to come to your court. We didn't decide what we were going to say. We came because God met with us. God changed our life. Think about that bush for just a few moments. Out in the middle of the desert, in the first place, that place was an appointed place. Of all that desert area, do you think it just happened that God appeared at that bush? You think it's just happenstance that God confronted Moses when he was right by himself? No, it was an appointment. It was a divine appointment. God appointed that place. He had a time. And for those of you who know Christ, you could think of a place where you met the Lord. It was an appointed place. But not only was it an appointed place, it was an anointed place. First thing he told Moses to do was to take his shoes off because the ground that he was standing on was holy ground. If you would do a geological survey of that land, that particular place wouldn't reveal anything different than anything else. What made that place holy ground? It was the holy presence of God. And wherever he's at, it is an anointed place. Wherever God's at, all of God's power's there. Wherever God's at, all of his wisdom's there. Wherever God's at, all of his provision is there. It is a holy place. This is a holy place, not because of the concrete or the carpet or the paint or the chandeliers, but because God's here. He's the one that caused that little piece of ground to be called holy ground. And it was a place where God was. And wherever God is at, and wherever he meets you at, that's a holy place. And what a blessing it is that you can have that. Notice what happened at that place. At that place, he heard the call of God. God spoke to him out of that bush. And thank God, there was a day or a time, I'm glad Brother Don is here. I told him it's good to see his truck sitting where it's supposed to be sitting out outside here this morning. But Don, I tell you, across the street over in that old building is a holy place, because that's where he and Miss Deborah met the Lord, right there in that old place. It was God. It wasn't me or anybody else, but God was there. And they met God there. And that God called their name. This morning, Brother Barry, it always amazes me that when the Holy Ghost of God leads him to teach, it seems like it always ties into what the Lord's laid on my heart. But God called Moses there at that place and spoke to him. And I'm telling you, God calls us. The Holy Spirit of God comes and he calls our name. He'll call you to salvation. Now you think about it. You've lived a whole life and you haven't paid him any bit of attention. You didn't care about the Bible. Didn't care about God. Never thought much about heaven or hell either one. And then God began to deal with your heart and to speak to your heart. And he called you. He spoke to you. And I'm glad that God speaks. I'm glad he still speaks. And he's calling. But not only was it a place of his calling, it was a place of his consecration. When God told him to take his shoes off, he took his shoes off. There at that place is, why did he take his shoes off? Because you remember when the prodigal son came home, the Bible says that the father said, put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet. Because the slaves and servants went barefooted. And from now on, Moses is going to be a servant of the Lord. And matter of fact, in one place, he calls him and identifies him, Moses, my servant. He is going to be the servant of God. He came to this place and there he experienced that calling. It was a personal call, called him by name. He had a purpose in that call. And when he calls you, and he speaks to your name. He has a purpose. He wants to forgive you of all your sin, but then he wants to use you. And he has a purpose for you. And so that place is a place where you meet God, and wherever it's at, whether it's at this altar or in the auditorium or back in the back, wherever you meet God is a holy place because God's there. And he speaks to us always personally, but not only a place of his calling and his consecration when he gave his all to the Lord at that burning bush, but it was a place of his commission. The Lord said, I want you to go back and lead the children of Israel out. Now here's what it says. The Bible says of me and you in the New Testament, we should make our calling and election sure. That is to know that you're saved, to know that you know that you're saved. You need to know that. You need to know that when you got saved, God forgave all your sin and the Holy Spirit of God came in you. You need to know that. It's got to be a place here like it was of him, of his commission. And when God told him, you go back, but you've got to know that. Why? Why did he have to know that I'm going to send you back? And then God goes on and said, he said, you'll know that I've called you when you come back to this very spot, having led the children of Israel out, and you'll worship and serve me here on this mountain. You'll know it then. Why? Because it wasn't going to be, when he goes back, it's not just instantaneous success. It's a long process. There's a lot of what appears to be failure when he speaks to the people and they say, oh yeah, we believe it and this, that, and the other. And then Pharaoh doubles their work. And then they say to Moses, you've ruined everything. When he killed the Egyptian, you've ruined everything and all those things. But all the things that happen in your life and my life, they're not always going to be the best things. I mean, not that we'd enjoy it. You're going to have good times and bad times. You're going to have some victories and some defeats. You're going to have some successes and some failures. But the thing is, you've got to know this. You've got to have this commitment in your heart that you know that God saved you. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will attack you over and over again about your salvation. He wants to war against your mind. He wants to cause you to doubt it. But you got to know, remember that you met with God. And I believe Moses did that through all the good times and the bad times and everything that happened when he led them out and in the wilderness and all the things that went through. God had a calling on his life and he knew it. He knew that the gift and the calling of God's without repentance. God doesn't take away his gift, doesn't take away his salvation, and you're his child. Good time, bad time. When sickness comes, when cancer comes, you're still his child. He's got a purpose. And Moses had to understand that. And that's what happened at that time when he met God and he took his shoes off. He said, God, I'm yours. Good time, bad time, success or failure, I'm yours. And he went through all of that, but God brought him through. God hath met with us. What a testimony. What a transforming event. Could you say this morning, there was a time and a place where God met with me? There was a time that God spoke to my heart. And I'm going to tell you, He'll do that. And that's a transforming experience. When Moses met the Lord and God met with him there, it transformed him. It gave him the authority he would need. It gave him the boldness he would need. It gave him the courage he would need. It gave him the confidence he would need. It gave him the commitment that he would not quit no matter what happened. All that happened in that moment of that meeting. And God continued to work with him the whole time. He said, I will not leave thee. He said, don't be discouraged. I will be with you. Has he ever met with you? Number one, he'll meet with you in your salvation. It's a good thing to have somebody lead you to Christ. Good thing to have a pastor to preach to you. But the greatest thing about your personal salvation was that Jesus was there. Holy Ghost of God was there. God was there. He may have used your mama, your daddy. He may have used another preacher. He may have used somebody else. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, a wonder worker. But God was there. He'll meet you in your salvation. Nobody in this world loves you more than Jesus. Nobody in heaven loves you more than Jesus. Nobody in this world, nor heaven or hell, wants you saved more than Jesus. And He comes to the salvation experience of every believer. God meets with you in that holy place. From the youngest to the oldest, God hath met with us. He'll meet you in salvation, but He'll meet you also in your surrender place. Moses took his shoes off. I can remember a time when I gave my life, my all to the Lord. I remember my salvation. I remember when I was baptized. I believe I was saved. Over the years, just like you, the devil fights me over different things and has. Strangely, I've never doubted my call to preach. Whenever God was dealing my heart, I talked with my pastor, Earl Shotwell, about it. And he said to me, he said, well, you settle it with God. Know that God's called you. And then he said, once you finally make that commitment to Him that you're going to preach, don't tell anybody for at least 2 weeks. And I did that. And I remember the night I came out of the choir and came in. I was singing in the choir, Brad, by the way. And I came down and I came to the altar that night. And I told Brother Earl Shotwell, I've got to preach. God's called me to preach. But what really did that in my heart and life had happened a few weeks or months before. Our little girl, Christy, our oldest daughter, was diagnosed with cancer, with leukemia. And I remember going into my daddy's old chicken house when they had called and my mom was going to go, and her mom and Regina was getting Christy ready. This woman had to go to Duke for the very first time. It's when they diagnosed her with acute lymphatic leukemia. And the doctor told us she may live 5 days, she may live 5 years, but she will not live. There's no cure for it. And I went into the chicken house, the old chicken house that Daddy had, big, like we had layers, and it was been cleaned out a long time ago. It's just that huge building. I got on my knees in there and I prayed and my heart broke and I said, God, if I could do anything to let Christy live. And I said, God, I know that You've called me to preach. I believe that with all my heart. God, if you'll let her live, that I'll preach, I'll serve You the rest of my life. I'll give You all that I've got. And when I stood up, it was like a cloud was around me. It's like all of a sudden heaven got brass and He got silent. And I mean, it was just like I popped up and I popped right back down. I got up in that darkness, but I fell back down. And I said, God, I know You love me and You love Christy. And God, whatever You do in her life, I know it's going to be because You think it's best. But God, I know You're calling me to preach too. And God, whatever happens, I'm going to preach. I'll give my life to serve You. Maybe you've had a place like that. Maybe you've had a point of a surrender. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't make enough commitments on your own to keep that commitment. But if God meets with you, and I'm going to tell you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob met with me that day in that chicken house. And for 50 whatever years now, 6 years, I've tried to be faithful. Hadn't always been what I should have been, but God's been good. He'll meet with you at your place of surrender. He'll meet with you at the place of service. You'll never make a visit. You'll never give out a tract. You'll never make a hospital visit or go to the nursing home that He won't go with you. You'll meet Him there. I've been amazed, and you've been amazed, some of you who go out and start witnessing. I remember Brother Terry Perry both telling about when they first started the nursing home ministry, and this lady asking to pray. They were both of them a little bit intimidated about even praying in public. But I forget whether it was Terry Perry, one of them said he prayed, and he said, "I don't know how in the world, I don't even know what's happening." I know what it was. God met with them. And wherever God puts you to serve, God will meet with you there. And after it's over, you can testify, God had met with us. He'll meet with you in your place of sickness. There'll be times that God will bless you in the darkest of nights. I've been there, you've been there. Does God always heal us? No. But you know God's there. And sometimes God says, "My strength is sufficient for thee. I'll carry you through this. Whatever it is, we'll just go." He'll meet you. And God has met with many of you, men and me, in our greatest times of sorrow. God spoke peace to my heart, peace to Regina's heart, about our little girl. But have we missed her? Yes. Can we relive it today just like it was yesterday? Yes. But I'm going to tell you, without Him, we wouldn't be where we are today, because God met with us. He'll meet with you in time of sorrow. Regina's shared the testimony often about the first time she had to go with Christy to Duke after they diagnosed her. We had to keep going back, knowing that at some point in time, they would say to us that she's not well. I mean, it's really become aggressive, because they'd already told us there was no cure. So she had to go on a regular basis. There was one occasion when Regina, I couldn't go with her. I'd been with her every time. And she had a friend in the neighborhood there. It was a lost lady. And she was going with her. She said she stood that morning in front of a mirror and she prayed and she said, "Lord, Billy's not going today. And this other lady doesn't know Christ. God, I've got to have you today to meet with me and go with me." And she said an arm went around her and she turned around and looked to see if I had come into the bathroom where she was at. There was nobody there. But she said all that day, that arm never left her. She felt His embrace all day long. I'm promising you, He'll meet with you in your time of sorrow, in your time of suffering. He'll meet with you. He'll meet with you in your time of need, your time of supply. God showed up right on time every time. But there was a time I thought, man, we won't ever make it through this, but God did every time. He always had. God met with us to supply all of our needs. I love every bit of that. I'm like Tom Gilliam. I love the hound out of Him meeting us in salvation and meeting us in surrender and suffering and all that. But we ain't seen nothing yet. The Bible said the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will meet them in the clouds. And then we'll meet the Lord in the air. There's another time He'll meet with us, and it's when it's all over with. When we get to go to glory in the rapture of the church, I believe many of us in this building get to go in the rapture. But if we go by the way of death, we also know that He welcomes us home. Can I say to you today, if you could say one little statement, it'll last you the rest of your life, and know the reality of it, that it's not a one-time occurrence. It's the beginning, just the beginning of His abiding presence with you in every circumstance of life. Not that God in the past met with us, but He's still with you now. Do you know that? Let's bow together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that God hath met with us. God, I want to thank You that You met me in my mother's yard on that old glider. But God, You didn't meet me and leave me. You've been with me ever since. I'm glad, God, You met me with me in a very special way in my call into the ministry. And God, in times of suffering, in times of sorrow and sickness, God, we've met you over and over again. God, in times of service, I've been amazed at what you did through preaching or through my witness. God, I failed you so many times. Seems like many more times than I've been faithful, I've been unfaithful. But God, on those times, God, that I was faithful, you were always there. You've never forsaken us. God, thank you that you always meet us at our point of need. You're always there to help us and supply for us. But Lord, we're looking forward to that day when we get to go home and we shall forever be with the Lord. God, what a day that will be when we meet our loved ones in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God, what a time. Lord, there might be a boy or girl, a teenager, a young adult, a senior, God, who's never had such encounters. Our Father, I know that right now, if they're in that case, they need to meet you in salvation. You've come to seek and to save that which is lost. You invite whosoever will may come. And God, there's not one person here you wouldn't meet with them to give them everlasting life. If they would call on you and turn to you and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd save them forever. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God, do what I cannot do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, drawn by your grace. And today, save them by grace. And they'll rejoice for all eternity that they took that step of faith and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, there are others here who've been facing times of sickness or sorrow. God, I'm glad that you meet with us in those occasions. You were with Daniel in the lion's den, with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. God, you'll meet with us wherever we are, in conflict or sorrow or sadness. And God, what a friend that sticketh closer to than a brother to always be with us. Now, Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, will draw people by your grace. I pray, God, they'd respond. Friends, would you stand together? And as you're standing, Brother Brad has a song this morning. He'll sing a verse to a song. I want to invite you to come. Gather around this old-fashioned altar. And if you're saved, maybe you want to just come and thank him that you met him. He met with you. If you have a special need, I want to tell you, he'll meet you. He'll come be with you. You have not because you ask not. If you ask him and call on him, he'll meet with you. Would you come? And if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I want to tell you, he'll save every person in this building. Not hard for him to save every boy, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Every one of you that don't know Christ, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Just take one step. I'll meet you here at the front. We'll pray together. God speaks to your heart. Would you come right now? Just come on right now. Amen. Just obey the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God for folk coming. Amen. Died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Take a step.